Now, he said, for I think, verse 9, God has exhibited us apostles, last of all men, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty and poorly clothed and are roughly treated and are homeless. And we toil, walking with our own hands. Now, please notice this. And we toil, verse 12, walking with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. And when we are slandered, we try to conciliate. That is, bring people back together. That is, try to reconcile ourselves to the people. He said, we have become as the scum of the world. He said, the dregs of all things, even until now. Please, before I explain the complaints he had there, let's read further down a bit. In verse 14, it says, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you will not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, he said, I became your father through the gospel. That is, I preached and you believed. That's what he was saying. And I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me. Verse 17 said, for this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he remind you of my ways, which are in Christ Jesus, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some have become arrogant, even though, as though I was not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Now, I need to read all of that to put everything in perspective so that we'll understand exactly what Paul was trying to say. Don't forget there were issues on ground. The people were divided. This was a church that Paul alone, now, you follow what I mean? Paul alone preached to and gave birth to, of course, together with his co-workers. What I mean is that Apollos was not there. Do you follow my point? Now, Apollos had come and had taught them all the things that he knew, as accurate as he knew it, all right? And at the end of the day, people had become divided. Some were of Paul and some were of Apollos. Now, this is what he was saying. The people were divided. Now, Paul was not even happy with those who said they were of Paul. But even more against those that, like, you can imagine the displeasure against those who said they are of Apollos. Now, so you see, what's happening is that Paul said that, listen, people, I gave birth to you through the gospel. Do you understand my point? I preached. There was nobody there. I laid the foundation of Christ Jesus in your life. All right? But now, what the people have done, and some have now said that, I bet we have found somebody more superior who's teaching us deeper things. Therefore, we are of what? Apollos. We are no longer of Paul. Now, the problem is that, now if you see something here, he said that, verse 9, for I think God has exhibited us, this is what I am discovering, that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all men, as if we are the ones that suffer everything. Many years ago, I was in Lagos. Well, not so many, not like 20 years ago. This was like about 10 years ago. Well, okay, about 14 years ago, actually. This was around 1995. All right, yes, 95, yes. All right, but 95, about 13 years ago. I went to a church in Lagos. Reverend Kola Iwosho came to preach there. And he said something. Jokingly, though, he said he has noticed that once a church is just being born, it was a small church. My friend was one of the workers in the church and invited him for the program that he had in the church. And I went to attend. And Kola Iwosho came from Kano to come and minister. He said he appears like he gets invited to all the small churches in town. He said it jokingly, all right? That once the church is born and they are growing, they invite him all the time. But once they start growing, they suddenly realize that he's not fitting for their size anymore. He said it like a joke. So not to the fact that, like, I hope he won't forget him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's what Paul was saying here. He said it appears as if God has exhibited us apostles as men condemned to death. We have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. And he said, we are fools for Christ's sake. He said, but you we minister to. Do you understand? You appear like wise men. We that taught you the foundations of wisdom will look like idiots. Now, notice this. He said, you are strong. He said, we are weak, but you that we imparted the spirit to, you appear strong. Now, there's something he said. He said, you are distinguished. Get my point. That is, in society, you are respected. you are honored, you are rich. He said, but we are without honor. He said, to this present hour, now listen, despite the fact that we have ministered to people who now have money, do you understand my point? Who have food, who have clothing. He said, we are both hungry and thirsty and poorly clothed. Now, you are getting what I'm trying to say. That's what Paul meant. It's as if this is just a punishment that God has given us for being apostles. Now, he's not saying this is right. He's just saying that is what we have often encountered. When people don't understand the fact that, now, read everything together. You have to read Paul in context. He used very long sentences to make his point. He said, when people don't understand the fact that they cannot have many fathers, as a father, I gave birth to you when you were nothing. Then this, you know, this young teacher has come and built your uniform. After we have labored, brought you out of the problems you were in, then when you are established, say, I'm of Apollos, I'm not of Paul. Do you follow my point? He said, listen, Apollos may have blessed you. Teachers may have developed you. He said, but ask yourself, how did I get to know the Lord? He said, you cannot have many fathers. All right? You can have many teachers. He said, despite the fact that these people have prospered, who will minister to at the beginning? Remember the story I told you about Kola Ewosu and churches. Of course, when a small church is starting, you invite a man from that distance. No matter how much you love him and you want to bless him, it's only small honorarium you can give him. But when you're a very large church, you can afford more money, but at that time, you don't remember him anymore. Now, you are getting what Paul was saying. And I said that this is not good. Sometimes what is natural, all right, is not good. Do you follow my point? That's one thing about the civilized, so-called civilized countries and advanced world, developed countries. They want to prove to us that once we can show that something is natural, then it means it is all right, we can't legislate against it. Do you get my point? After all, every young man wants to have sex. Why don't you let them? Why are you saying it is immoral? And you have proof that it is natural. Do you follow what I'm saying? So they think the church is crazy for their laws and their opinions. They tell you that this young man was born homosexual. Why do you say homosexuality is not correct? After all, it's not his fault. So if the man is genetically a thief, you let him continue stealing. After all, it is natural to steal when you're hungry. I can prove that one also. That's just by the way. I'm trying to bring out something here. Some things are natural, okay? In fact, the discipline of being a human being and not an animal is the fact that you can look at your instinct and work against it. You get what I mean? You can look at what your body wants to do and you say, no, I am in charge here. Because the power of human beings is that they can receive information, you can talk to them, words are powerful. You give him words, without anything more than words, the words interact with his spirit, overcome the desires of his soul, and overcome the instincts of his flesh, and the man becomes a real man. Are you getting my point? Anybody who moves from the other way around, flesh, all right, first, is one that is of the earth, is an Adamic nature. Real Christianity, that's what the Bible calls being spiritual, all right? That is, we can look at what is natural and work with that which is spiritual and overcome that which is natural. I'm bringing out something here. So these things are natural, we are saying, but they are not right. You follow what I mean? Yes, they are natural, but they are not right. You know, one of my friends was telling me that there are people that he knows that in their villages, their parents hardly have a decent roof over their head, hardly have money to eat enough good. But they're driving flashy cars in town and living in very expensive houses. You follow what I mean? Uh-huh. Anyway, any person who's like that, tell him, Pastor Banky said he won't live long. No, it's not a curse. I can read it from the Bible. Tell him that one day, the kind of calamity that he has never imagined will come upon him. If you have anyone like that, say, oh, welcome, please. I'm just coming from the village. I said, no, you know how you do it. You go to his house. Good morning, sir. Chairman, how now? I'm just coming from the village. And I saw your father walking all over town. He had to go from one place to the other. I just realized that you have 7 cars in your compound. And Pastor Banks, I should tell you that one day you will die suddenly. Pastor Mark said, I should tell you that this house, one day, it will collapse on your head.
He said, what did you say? I said, no, it's not me. It's Pastor Banky. He said, I should tell you. Doesn't know me. No. Just say I should look around. Anybody do your kind of works. This is the message he gave me for them. That they have forgotten. That I gave birth. That they forgot their fathers who gave birth to them when they were small. Now they have prospered. They have forgotten. And they think the man is no longer worthy of attending his parties because he doesn't speak good English. Do you get my point? He doesn't. His friends are now ambassadors and big ministers. Why should his father attend his birthday party? You don't know there are idiots like that. Yes, there are idiots like that all over town. Then one day something terrible happened to them. They say, what happened? This is a witch. He's not a witch. Believe me, he's not a witch. There are some blessings that people are not giving them. And that, for that reason, problems are just afflicting them anyhow. Hey, but you've gotten the point I'm making now. So Paul was explaining that, look, that's what we are seeing here, but that is not what is right. He said, look at the problem. Till now, verse 12, we toil, working with our own hands. We have ministered to you, you have prospered, but to eat, we still have to go and make tents. You follow the point I'm making? So that's the kind of thing Paul was saying. Now, you've gotten what I'm saying. I read down to the end so that you will understand the concept. All right, behind the expressions of Paul there. All right, he said, verse 16, he said, I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me. He said, for this reason, that is, you have forgotten all those things I taught you at the beginning, I sent Timothy, all right, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Please, there's something here. You will see that people's behaviors, I want to emphasize this verse 17. People's behaviors are a reflection of the understanding that they have, all right? And if you find somebody misbehaving, then most certainly he has forgotten what he was taught in the past. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, you notice something here. He said that I've sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you of my ways. Personally, all right, do you know, yesterday, I was listening to a message that one guy preached. What's his name now? Yeah, they call him Pastor Banky. Do you know him? Yes. There's a reason why I talk like that. They didn't have a subtitle, so I was listening to the message so I can put a proper subtitle because we're archiving the materials properly and then printing some catalog and CDs. Then I heard a statement that I made, and look, why not I recognize the voice? I'll have shouted, revelation, God! You know the interesting part? I've forgotten it. Until then, when I listened to it. Now, of course, one of the reasons is that when you talk like this, if you're a minister, you will understand. Most times, in fact, this is not a joke, at least personally, this is my own experience. 65% on the average of the things that I preach to people were never meditated on beforehand. That is, I didn't think about delivering it like that. It's like last Saturday, everything that I preached last Saturday was absolutely not what I prepared to say. Absolutely. Maybe apart from the first, okay, read this verse, and then I began to talk. That was why, when we started a bit late, and then at the end of the day, I stopped, not just because I started late, but the message was short because by the time I got to where I got to, I knew I'd finished the delivery that was committed to my hand for the day. Not what I planned. No, I ended by saying that, okay, what I wanted to say, me will say it next time. Now, sometimes, next time, you end the series, we're not saying it again. Now, it happens. That's, if you're a preacher, you will understand that. And usually when you talk like that, people tend to be more blessed than when you stick so formally to things that you have prepared and you had time to reason over. The Spirit of God being very free really helps you minister to different people as you are speaking. There was a young man who came to see me last time. That's Saturday. Because he didn't come on time, and I couldn't see him after the meeting. I like to go home. I don't like to talk to people afterwards. First thing he said after the meeting was that, number one, half of the question he came with had ended just by being present that day. And I told him something which is a matter of fact. I said, this is why I don't like counseling people that don't listen to me. Do you understand my point? In fact, first thing I told him, I said, look, how many messages have you listened to that I preach? I said, many of them. I said, but you live in Enugu. I don't see you every Saturday. I said, I'm sure if you have been seeing you, all these questions you're asking me would not have arisen. Yeah, I told him simply. I said, look, that is the problem. So you want me to tell you what I've been telling everybody? I said, this question you have asked me, nobody who listens to me regularly will ask me this kind of question. Not one. They already know the answer.
Do you follow what I mean? Now, so I'm just saying that. So it happens. You just minister to people as you go on. But apart from that, that is number one. Apart from that, if you heard something once, you also tend to forget it. In fact, when Paul was writing in the book of Hebrews, he said, we have to be careful that these things that we have heard, that they don't slip away from us. What I'm trying to say is this. When you forget the fundamental truths that you were taught, you tend to lose, do you get me? You tend to lose the characters of Christianity that you had. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. You know, you see, that's why you hear that you mention one crooked man in the society. And so those days he was a fellowship president on campus. And so that doesn't impress me anymore. Any fellowship president doesn't mean that you, at a point in time they regarded you as the highest person who could help, and then God just confirmed you as a leader. It doesn't mean you can't forget. Because when you forget those fundamental things that you knew then, your character will go backwards towards the characters of those who do not know such things. What I'm telling is a matter of fact. In fact, I like the way Peter said it. Peter said, if any man is lacking in these things, he has forgotten that he was once cleansed from his sins. And that's the way Peter said it. He said, add to your faith virtue. Add to your, you know, he put all those things together that you should have. He said, but if you discover that anybody is lacking these things, he said, it's not out of wickedness, but out of what? Forgetting. I think let's read that. It will help us. Quickly open to 2 Peter chapter 1. If you read from verse 5, I won't read everything because of the time, but you'll get the point. It says, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, King James says virtue, and moral excellence, knowledge, and all of that, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. He said, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, then, he said, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He now said, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having what? Forgotten his purification from his former sins. Did you notice that? What happened to him? He forgot. So when you see people misbehaving, you know, what you reintroduce to them, all right, is the same things that they knew before. Now, I said this because I was trying to explain verse 17 there. Paul said, when I wanted to solve the problem amongst you, what did I do? I sent Timothy to go and remind you of my ways, which are in Christ Jesus. Just as I teach everywhere in every church. That is, when I was there, what I taught were the things that I practiced. And anyone who holds on to the things I taught will find good character coming out of him. Do you get my point? Let me say this again. You know I keep saying it. My God, I won't say it enough. Christianity is not about results. I want to say it's not about prayer. It's not about activity. It's about the knowledge of God. It's about being accurate in your relationship with God as far as his word is concerned. Do you follow what I'm going to say? It's about understanding God. It's about coming into what Paul calls the epignosis or the full knowledge of God. It's not about any other thing. It's not about even teaching people sound moral character. No. Because what's happening is that if they have the true knowledge, I said earlier, a man is proud. Pride is bad, right? But why is he proud? Because he thinks that this is Babylon the Great, which I built by the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty. But if you understood that I am what I am by the grace of God, that I have been appointed king for such a time as this, are you getting me? And I have been brought to this level to serve a purpose. That just like as Esther did not become, now this is the interesting part, Esther did not become the queen, all right, because she was very beautiful. Do you understand? The Bible says that the things that are seen, by faith we understand that they were not made out of the things that are visible. So we understand that Esther did not become queen because she was fine. But that the man saw her as fine because God says she will be queen. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, it is not, can't you see how fine Esther is? If you just make yourself very fine, one day you become queen. No. Esther became queen for such a time as this. You get my point. He said, I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. That the reason why God gave her the appearance that we appeal to that king was because it was crucial to his plan for her life that she found her way into the palace. that she found her way into the right hand of the king, all right? She became his queen. Therefore, we understand, by faith we understand that Esther did not become queen because she was beautiful. By faith we understand that Esther became queen because of such a time as this. Do you understand my point? In the same manner, as the king of Babylon, you understand that God has elevated me to serve a purpose. Therefore, pride is out of it. Despite the fact that Joseph was de facto the most influential person about that on the earth at his time, yet when people say, don't punish us, he said, do I have the power to kill and to make alive? Let me tell you something. He did not use that principle only with his brethren. Because he said, you are talking as if I have the power to kill and to make alive. He said, am I in God's stead? That is everything. You know, I said something last time. Every time God gives you opportunity, authority, if God gives you anything in life, gives you an office, gives you a responsibility, you must always ask yourself, what am I supposed to do with this? Let me tell you, as a pastor, if you're a pastor, a teacher of the word, the reason why God gave you the title and why people listen to you and respect you is not so that they can carry your bag. I'm not saying you shouldn't carry my bag. In fact, I like when you carry my bag, I'm very, very happy. After sweating like this, somebody else should sweat on the bag now. What do you think? I just sit down there, cross my leg, chukubike, pack my bag. It's very nice, isn't it? But that's not the reason. Do you understand my point? The reason is simple, and you must be careful not to abuse it. The reason is because God wants you to use the authority behind your words to lead men in the path of righteousness. Are you getting my point? It's sad. These days, I don't, you know, you may say, Pastor Bank, what's your problem? Sorry, it's actually my problem. I feel bad. Some use that for other things. They use it to serve, you know, they serve personal ambitions. You may think that, Pastor Bank, I know, if you did like that, the anointing won't be there. Let me tell you something about God. He gives you an anointing. He gives you authority. There is your business what you use it to say. I'm serious, though. I'm very serious. Apollos that thought people were divided. Who gave him the unction to talk? Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, it is your responsibility. That is why when you want to pray, before you preach, don't pray, say, God, give me understanding. That one is good. But God, please, don't let me say anything that is not right. Don't let my own motives color the things I want to say. Let not my own personal likes or dislikes, let my words only reflect the character of God. Like Paul said, these things that I practice are the very things I am teaching in every church. You know the reason? Because if you tell people nonsense, only the mature, do you follow me? And God didn't send you to teach only mature people. Actually, most mature people don't need you at all. They don't need you. The people that need you the most, you have to be careful that you don't cause them to offend. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy, he was writing and said, everyone who is teaching should be careful how he's building. Because whatever you say, we build something. Either builds strife or builds jealousy, like he did in Corinth there. It will build something. It will most certainly build. So when God gives you power and authority, gives you an office, you must always ask, what exactly am I supposed to do with this? If you have that attitude, oh boy, pride can never be one of your problems. Paul said, this is what I practice, all right, and that's what I declare. So I am saying that now, that's what I practice at Bank here. If you get to my office in UNTH, one day somebody said in my hearing, how can I, a whole consultant, be talking, and this man is talking? Do you follow my point? And I told my wife, I said, later I was telling her, I said, what is the whole about a consultant? As far as I could see, everybody had one neck. If all the people I checked that day, all of them had only two eyes, one nose. They happened to have come there. The man talking didn't have four legs. He came with only two. So I said, what is whole about you? You follow my point? You don't know that one small accident could have happened and you would not have gone to school. You know that? Yes? Or one, you could have just fallen sick the day before your final exam and you didn't recover for the next 2-3 years and that's it. You never went to that university as you planned to. Do you follow what I'm saying? And for that reason, it never crosses my mind to say a hole. What is a hole? What What is holy about? Do you no? You know, the mortuary is under my department. And when I enter the place, there are some of the mortuary attendants. They've been there for a very long time, and I just enter. In fact, there's one particular guy. That's how I greet him. The dan, you know, we give ourselves shake. You know, you guy will push me, say, "Oh, you see, wait in your pocket, tap my pocket." You know, I mean, what's the big deal? Age-wise, the guy's older than you. You are very stupid because you went to university, became a specialist, and then they made you the boss. Listen, there's a reason why they made you the boss. And one of them is not to be looking down your nose. It doesn't include, do you follow my point? It does not include looking down your nose. You know, one of the people I give as examples is my chief when I was in Lagos. I said, maybe a lot, you know, I saw that a lot when I came to Enugu. I saw it a lot. You know, maybe this guy is the first doctor from his village. You don't blame him. So his shoulder is actually above his head. He raised his shoulder so high, his head has sunk to the center. I said, what is all this noise? What's all this noise? What's all this noise? I look at someone like my chief. You know, I like to give them as an example. I gave them as an example that time I preached at Full Gospel. In fact, that's why I'm even remembering it now. The lowest ranking personnel in my department, my wife knows who I'm talking about, when he got married, they used my chief's Mercedes Benz to carry the bride. The guy was the lowest ranking. They just employed him. The kind of person that you employ with maybe primary school leaving certificate alone. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes. That is, in fact, one day, two junior people were talking. And the more senior of the two junior people was looking for that guy. What is it? I said, bring the file. I'm senior to you in this office. That was when it hit me that there's nobody in that whole department that's not senior to that fellow. It was extremely low ranking. But when he was going to get married, my chief apologized that she would not be able to attend, who was then our head of department, and sent her driver and her Mercedes Benz to go and carry the bride and the groom. I take a line from that, my chief. I said, what is all the noise? I said, okay, maybe so. You see doctors, and you are the first in your village. I don't blame you. My chief's father was a doctor. Her elder brother was vice chancellor at University of, Obafemi University. Rogers Makonjola is her elder brother. You know, I mean, I say maybe because she has seen things. So when somebody comes out of bush, he thinks that, look, this is my friend. The reason why I left the bush and I'm not still there is because I'm better than all of you. On the one DB I go vex, we send him back to the bush. Say, look at this foolish boy, Sam. Just cook one coconut and kill one chicken, mix it together, blow it. Because the guy is not in Christ. In hell, we just talk. Why do you think some of those guys can't go home? It's not their fault. The last time he went, he looked down at the DB. The DB said, me for this village, come back here now. All right. Please, I hope you're getting my point. So, Paul, now what have I tried to explain here? I've explained that it's lack of understanding and lack of knowledge, all right? That's what makes people misbehave. But as a matter of fact, Paul now said that if you want to recover good character in people, what you do to them is return what? Good instruction. Therefore, he sent Timothy to them and said, Timothy, go and teach these people of the things that I taught them before, which they have forgotten. He said, he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. That's the point I just wanted to make. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.